Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up, Sunday dinner tasty recipes using melons. Use that fresh produce, the drink of the week, and I have another tip of the week right here on What's for Dinner.
Taco. Grande.
What's for Dinner on KFSK is brought to you by Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, offering fresh produce, quality meats, and everything else customers need to make the perfect appetizer, salad, or favorite family meal. Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921.
Un burrito ranchero. So give me something spicy and hot now. Break out the menu, what you got now? Or would you tell the waiter I'd like to have sour cream on the side? You better make sure the beans are refried.
Ale, ale, ya, ya.
Taco.
Ale, ale, ya, ya.
Grande.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner, and it's a Sunday dinner section of What's for Dinner, and that's different foods that I've cooked at my house through the week. And, just on Sunday, depends on how much I cooked on the weekend. I did cook quite a bit this weekend. I actually made some really good halibut tacos and some quiche, so I'm going to give you both of those recipes. First off, this is a lightly breaded halibut taco. And delicious. I really loved this recipe. It's the first time I breaded halibut that I've marinated in a buttermilk mixture first. And I loved it. It also made the halibut just had this nice flavor to it, and you can add spices to the buttermilk, and your halibut can marinate in the buttermilk for, like up to 8 hours. So this is a great recipe. I also served this with some pickled red onion, some lime cream. I couldn't come up with a better name for it. And, of course, cilantro and other condiments and some great cheese and all that. So here you go. Here's the recipe for lightly breaded halibut tacos. First of all, you want to cut your fish, your halibut, into, I like to not do one big strip. I like to have them in about 2-inch strips and maybe about a 1/2 inch thick. So some just nice chunks of fish, 2 cups of buttermilk, 1/2 cup of chopped fresh cilantro, a few tablespoons of hot pepper sauce, a couple teaspoons of kosher salt, and you're not going to use all of it in the buttermilk mixture, so divide it up. Some fresh lime juice, about a tablespoon, and of course you need your halibut chunks that you've cut up. And so you mix the buttermilk, cilantro, the pepper sauce, the salt, and the lime juice in a large bowl. Add your fish, toss it around, cover, and chill for at least an hour. And actually up to, you can let it sit in the fridge most of the day. And the longer it sits, the better it's going to taste. So while your fish is marinating, if you're just going to let it marinate for about an hour, you're going to get your other things ready for your tacos. You can make this pickled red onion. So you need a red onion or, whatever onion you have around is fine. Half it lengthwise, and then cut it thinly crosswise. A cup or so of seasoned rice vinegar, a couple tablespoons of lime juice, and 1 tablespoon of coarse kosher salt. And Put the onion in a medium bowl, mix your vinegar, lime juice, and salt in a saucepan, and then bring it to a boil so it gets hot. Let the salt dissolve, and then pour that over the onion and let it sit at room temperature for at least an hour or up to 8 hours. You can make it like a week ahead of time, too, and put it in the refrigerator like anything pickled. And, you know, put it in the fridge and let it get nice and cold, because that, you know, just that cold pickled onion on top of your halibut taco, very, very delicious. It's super good. So you've got your pickled onion made. Now you're going to make your lime cream. I know a lot of people use mayonnaise and sour cream, but I don't really think you need to put the mayonnaise in this. It'll be way too thick and rich, and because this halibut is a very lightly breaded halibut. It's, you know, so, you know, just about a half a cup of sour cream. You can use light sour cream if you want to. A couple tablespoons of fresh lime juice. A teaspoon of finely grated lime peel and a pinch of salt. So before you juice your lime, you want to grate your lime peel first, because once you juice your lime, then it's harder to grate it, because it's flattened if you use a nice little lime juicer, which is what I use. Anyway, so grate it first and just mix all of that together, set it aside, stick it in the fridge. And I might have even used even more than 2 tablespoons of lime juice. I like mine to be very limey and very, not super thick. I like to have some runniness to this cream, because you just kind of pour it on your taco. You're not spooning it on. And that's what I like about this. I mean, you can spoon it on, but it's not going to be this big glob. So very, very good. And so you have your red onion made, sitting aside. You have your cream sitting aside, and your fish has been sitting happily in the buttermilk mixture. So now you're going to take flour, about 2 cups of flour, and then some salt and pepper. If you want to put in some pepper, you can do that too, like red pepper. You know, spice up the flour a little bit. So we're not dredging this halibut in a wet mixture. It's already in the wet mixture, and now we're just going to dredge it through the flour. And it can be messy, so, you know, use one hand to, or, you know, a tong to lift up the halibut out of your buttermilk mixture, put it into your flour mixture, use another tong or hand to mix the flour around. But anyway, so you're whisking your flour, and you have your 2 teaspoons of salt, and then you add enough oil to your skillet to reach a depth of about 1 inch. And make sure your oil is hot. You don't want to stick that halibut in there before it's hot enough to actually cook on the outside. This just takes really a couple minutes. So make sure your oil reaches about 350. Work in batches, and carefully add your fish to the skillet, and fry until golden brown, about 4 minutes, and turn it once or twice. It really only takes about 4 minutes, and this is cooked. Transfer to a paper towel lined baking sheet and to drain, and then put it in a warm, very lightly, you know, a warm oven, not a hot oven, because you don't want to keep cooking the halibut. And delicious. This is a nice light breading, but it has lots of flavor because you soaked it in that buttermilk with the hot sauce, and absolutely delicious. So you can set up a little buffet on your table. And I didn't make homemade tortilla shells this time. I bought those nice ones at the grocery store that are thicker, and just put them on a griddle and warmed them up nicely with a little bit of oil on them, and it's delicious. So you put your taco on. You're going to need a little shredded cabbage. Finely shredded cabbage is delicious on this. Some cilantro, the cream, and your onions. And then I also used I didn't make the verde from scratch. I just bought a can of chili verde. Delicious. So you have the green, the lightness of the green tomatillos on there. So absolutely delicious tacos. And it's easy to make rice to go with those as well. And you can, with the rice, just make rice like you would normally. You know, it takes 14 minutes to cook after you've boiled it. But just, you know, some white rice. Maybe if you're using a cup of white rice, then you might want a cup of maybe some chicken broth. And believe it or not, just a little bit of ketchup in with that gives it just a little bit of a tomato-y flavor and a little bit of red pepper and some salt and pepper. And you have just this nicely seasoned, not overpowering rice to serve with it. And that is delicious. So there's a good recipe for lightly breaded tacos. And, you know, rather than throwing on, you know, the tomatoes and the normal things, cheddar cheese and all of that that you would throw on there, I would suggest definitely making the lime cream and trying some pickled onions, something a little bit different, and going with a green verde sauce to put on them. So super, super good. Here's another recipe that I made this weekend, and it's a creamy crab quiche. And we were fortunate enough to get some crab from someone, so wanted to use it up right away. I made a couple of them. And this is nice because you can, this is a basic quiche recipe, and I think I've actually given it out before, but it's been a long time. And I couldn't find it in my computer under my recipes, so maybe I haven't given it out to you before. But this is my creamy quiche recipe, and you can add to this, you can add bacon, you can add sautéed asparagus, or any other vegetables that you want. Maybe you don't have the crab, but this one in particular is for the crab. If you're going to put a vegetable with the crab, I would suggest asparagus. And I would suggest making sure that you saute your vegetables first. A lot of people don't saute their vegetables before they put them in a quiche, and they're just not done. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I don't like to bite into a raw onion or a raw piece of broccoli or pepper when I'm eating a quiche. I like to have it a little bit sautéed. And so sauté those vegetables first and then put them in with the rest of your ingredients if you're using bacon and crab and all of that. Red pepper would be good. So here you go. You need a half of a small chopped onion, a little bit of olive oil to saute the onion in, 4 eggs, a cup of milk, a cup of cream, a tablespoon of stone ground mustard, a dash of cayenne pepper, a teaspoon of garlic powder, a teaspoon of salt, a teaspoon of pepper, a tablespoon of fresh chopped parsley, 2 cups of cooked crab meat, this is loaded with crab, and 4 ounces of shredded cheddar cheese, or cheddar. I had cheddar on my mind. I mentioned it earlier, but Swiss cheese works great with this. And if you can get Swiss Lorraine cheese, which we don't get here very often, I don't know when it is the last time I saw it here. That cheese is so good in this creamy quiche. Swiss Lorraine. But 4 ounces of shredded Swiss cheese. You need a prepared pie crust in a pie pan. So get out your favorite recipe. And you've heated your oven to 350 and saute your onion in a small saute pan with the olive oil for about 5 minutes or until it's soft and kind of turning light brown in color. Set that aside. Then in a medium bowl or in, you know, a Pyrex pitcher thing, measuring bowl, whisk the eggs until they're smooth, all 4 eggs. Add your milk, your cream, mustard, garlic, cayenne, salt, and pepper. And also your parsley. And whisk all that together until blended. And I just use a hand blender, the kind that you turn the handle. But you could just use a big whisk. You don't really need to get anything out and plug it in for this. Then you add your crab and Swiss cheese to the prepared crust. Now, if you have bacon or crumbled bacon or your asparagus or cooked red pepper, you're going to add that too. Then pour the egg mixture on and bake in the oven for about 45 minutes until the custard is nice and set. And then make sure you let it rest when you take it out of the oven for about 10 minutes before serving it. So everything kind of pulls together then, and if you cut it too early, it's just, it'll be a little bit runny. It won't be quite as set yet, or not really runny, but it's nice when the juices and the fats cool off a little bit and solidify in there and make it delicious. So that's the creamy crab quiche recipe. One of the secrets to this that makes it so good is the use of the Swiss cheese. And, of course, also the cup of cream. But having that little bit of that dash of cayenne pepper, super important in this because it gives it just a little bit of a bite. So there's the creamy crab quiche recipe. And, you know, if you're making one, you might as well make two because most of your pie crust recipes call for two. And speaking of pie crust, we didn't have the pie crust class last week here at KFSK because we just had two people signed up. But if you want to sign up for it, we did reschedule that for Wednesday, September 11th at 6 o'clock here at KFSK Studios. And bring a pie plate and bring either butter or shortening or a mixture of both. And we'll work on making pie crusts. And we'll probably have some stuff here to make a quiche. So we'll have some quiche for dinner as well with one of our pie crusts. So just email Mindy at kfsk.org if you'd like to sign up for that pie crust class. It's good to do it before Thanksgiving, and you can wow everybody with the new skills that you learn at the pie crust class. And I have to say, this quiche crust, when I made it yesterday, turned out great. So I'm ready to show you some good crust recipes on September 11th. And that's it for Sunday dinner at our house. Coming up next, we're going to talk about recipes using melons. What's for Dinner on KFSK is supported by Inga's Galley, open through Thursday, August 22nd, and hosting live music from 5 to 7 on Thursday, serving mini pulled pork slider sandwiches, as well as items from the Inga's menu. Inga's Galley, thanking Petersburg for another great season. And today we're going to talk about melons, and they're so good without doing anything to them, just cutting them and eating them. And normally at our house, if we cut them and put them in a bowl, they go quicker. So you just got to cut them and get them in the bowl. I was just home at lunchtime and saw this watermelon sitting there on the counter in the back, and out of sight, out of mind. I've got to go home and get that thing cut and do some things with it. So here are some recipes to try with some melons. And I love this one in particular. This one's from myrecipes.com. This is a shaved cantaloupe and prosciutto salad. You know, cantaloupe and prosciutto go so well together. But it's not that often that we actually eat it together. This one's kind of nice. The prosciutto isn't it isn't wrapped around the cantaloupe. This one's actually, the prosciutto is baked until crispy and then kind of crumbled on top of the cantaloupe. So you need 4 slices of thinly sliced prosciutto, 1 ripe cantaloupe, halves seeded and the rind cut off, 8 to large mint leaves thinly sliced, and 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil. And this is the perfect time to get good melons They're pretty good right now. Heat your oven to 350 and set a rack over a rimmed baking sheet and lay your prosciutto out on the rack and bake it until crisp for 8 to 10 minutes. Then break it into shards and like little chips. Set it aside. And for this cantaloupe, rather than cutting the cantaloupe into chunks or slices, you're going to use like a vegetable peeler or a mandolin or a very sharp knife and actually shave off or cut little ribbons of it. So nice strips. So it's going to be very, very thin. And it's going to give it a little bit of a different taste because you're not tasting the huge chunk of sweetness. It's going to be a smaller piece at a time. And sprinkle the prosciutto and mint over the melon shavings. And drizzle the olive oil over the salad. And that's pretty easy. Except for probably the shaving part if you don't have a vegetable peeler. But I bet most of you have a vegetable peeler. And that is just a great way to serve a cantaloupe salad and something a little bit different. It's not in a chunk and it's not in a slice. And it's not wrapped in prosciutto. So that's a good one to give a try. Here's another one that caught my eye, and this one is from Taste of Home. This is a ginger-glazed grilled honeydew. You know, grilling melons is the very in thing right now and has been for a couple of years. If you haven't ever tried it, it's very nice because the sugars in the melons kind of caramelize up a little bit, and it is a delicious flavor. You have that sweetness and that smokiness and that kind of caramelization on the melons. And no, they don't just absolutely fall apart. They hold up. So for this one, you need a quarter cup of peach preserves, a tablespoon of lime juice, a tablespoon of chopped crystallized ginger, finely chopped. You can get that at the grocery store. And 2 teaspoons of grated lemon peel, 1/8 teaspoon of ground cloves, and a medium honeydew cut into 2-inch cubes. So combine your preserves, the lemon juice, the chopped crystallized ginger, and the lemon peel, and the cloves. And then thread the honeydew onto six metal or soaked wooden skewers and brush with the glaze, half of the glaze. And then grill the honeydew covered on your grill over medium-high heat or broil for about 4 to 6 minutes or until the melon begins to soften and brown and turn and baste with the remaining glaze. Doesn't that sound delicious? And, if you're going to grill those honeydew, definitely want to have them either in a slice or on a skewer, because you don't want them falling through the grates. So pretty big chunks, but put them on a skewer. And then, delicious. The kids are going to love that. They love them anyway, but that is a really good ginger-glazed grilled honeydew. Yum. You could do it with cantaloupe, too. Here is a recipe that uses some shrimp and melon. And super easy. It uses a honey lime vinaigrette, and to make the vinaigrette, you just need a couple tablespoons of lime, fresh lime juice, 1 teaspoon of honey, 4 tablespoons of olive oil, and your salt and pepper. So, of course, you just mix it all together. You don't have to do anything special there. Throw it all in a bowl and mix it. Then you need 1 pound of shrimp cooked and peeled, deveined, the juice of a lemon, 3 pounds of seedless watermelon rind, watermelon with the rind removed, cut into chunks. 1 honeydew, rind removed, cut into chunks. 1/2 red onion, sliced thin. And 1 chopped jalapeno. So, you have cooked your shrimp. And you're going to combine the watermelon, the honeydew, the onion, and the jalapeno in a bowl. In a separate bowl, mix together the lime juice, the honey, the olive oil, the salt, and drizzle over the melon and toss to combine. Toss it all together and with the shrimp. And delicious. This would be really, really good in a, like you could serve that in a martini glass with the shrimp hanging over the side, you know, something like that, or a clear glass where you can see the melon and the shrimp. So that's delicious. Here's another one that would be served really nicely in a wine glass. And this is a crab salad with honeydew. And you could make the crab salad and serve it in a half of a honeydew or a small honeydew. Or you could serve it in, like I said, like a big red wine glass and just have the honeydew cut into chunks. But first you need to make the crab salad. You need like a pound of crab meat, picked over crab meat, and a quarter cup of light mayonnaise. This one calls for a puttanesca sauce. And if you don't know what a puttanesca sauce is, this is, it's kind of a spicy sauce and it's really good on pasta. So a puttanesca sauce, some chopped green onions, Dijon mustard, and a couple of honeydew melons halved and seeded. Or, like I said, you could chop them up into chunks. So for the puttanesca sauce, and if you don't get this and write it down, you can always listen to it later on kfsk.org, or just get onto the internet on, you know, and look up puttanesca sauce, and there's a million recipes for puttanesca sauce. You need some olive oil and, of course, an onion and some garlic, a medium onion chopped, 2 tablespoons of minced garlic, 2 28-ounce cans of crushed tomatoes, and a cup of pitted Greek Kalamata olives halved. Most puttanesca sauces have olives in them. 3 tablespoons of drained capers, 2 teaspoons of anchovy paste, a half a teaspoon of salt, half a teaspoon of crushed red pepper, and a half a cup of red wine, which is optional. But so it's just a nice spicy red sauce. And basically, you are going to take your crab meat and mix it into the puttanesca sauce, the mayonnaise, the green onions, the Dijon mustard, and toss it all up and spoon it over the melon and serve. So you have that spiciness and then you have the sweetness of the melon. And delicious. That's a crab meat salad with halved honeydew, or cut it into chunks. I have just a couple more I'm going to share with you. These are just inspiration for using melon if you want to try something different. I want to give you this tomato, watermelon, and basil skewers. It's also, of course, on the grill. So you need some balsamic vinegar, about a quarter cup, and a quarter cup of sugar. And you're going to bring that to a small saucepan over medium heat and simmer until the sugar is dissolved. So that's going to be like this nice sauce. And then you cut a watermelon into 1.5-inch cubes. And you're going to put those onto a skewer, and then a skewer on a basil leaf, then a tomato half. So you need about 16 cherry tomatoes halved. And then you're going to continue with watermelon, basil, tomato. And basically, just drizzle them with the balsamic syrup and olive oil and sprinkle with some really good finishing salt or coarse sea salt and serve. Delicious. So there's another skewer. And since we're talking about watermelon, I've got 2 grilled watermelon recipes here. One is for a grilled watermelon sundae, and another one is for a grilled watermelon salad. And, you know, these days when you buy a watermelon, you don't have those big black seeds, which are kind of nice because, remember, you bite into a watermelon and you'd get a mouthful and you'd have to spit them out. But that was so fun when we were a kid. And I don't know if Evelyn's ever bit into a watermelon and had a big black seed to spit out. So you need for a grilled watermelon salad about a 5-pound seedless watermelon, quarter cup of balsamic vinegar, some olive oil, some salt, 2 cups of fresh baby arugula washed and dried, a cup of goat cheese crumbled, and fresh finely cracked black pepper. So you're going to cut away the watermelon so you have like a solid block of melon. So you're cutting the sides away and then turn it and cut another side away. And then you're going to have this nice block of melon. Cut it into 8 squares that are like 3 by 3 inches and like an inch thick. So you have these nice slabs of melon. Pour the vinegar into a small saucepan, bring it to a simmer, and cook it until reduced into a thick syrup. And then set it aside. Then you're going to heat your grill and drizzle just enough olive oil over the watermelon slices to coat them. Put them on the hot grill and grill them for about 2 minutes on each side. Then to assemble the salad, you put about 1/4 cup of arugula on a plate, the slice of grilled watermelon, top it with a tablespoon of crumbled goat's cheese, a little more arugula, and another watermelon slice on top of that, a little more cheese. So you're going to have this like nice layered watermelon salad. So 2 layers of watermelon, 3 layers of salad, and finish each slice with a slight drizzle of olive oil and the balsamic syrup, and then dust with a little black pepper at the end. That sounds delicious, doesn't it? I don't know if the kids will like it, but they could just eat the watermelon if you can't get them to eat the arugula. And then, last but not least, here's the grilled watermelon sundae. You need to make a honey lime syrup, 1/4 cup of lime juice, 1/2 of a lime zested, 1/4 cup of honey, a dash of cayenne pepper, and a dash of salt. And then, of course, you have a small watermelon cut into 1-inch thick triangles this time, but I don't really think you need to have them in triangles. You could just cut them in squares. It's easier. 1/4 of a vanilla ice cream and some whipping cream if you want it, and maybe some thinly sliced mint leaves. And first you want to make a syrup using the lime juice, the zest, the honey, the cayenne pepper, and the salt. Yum. And then whisk together until incorporated. Then you're going to grill your watermelon slices about 2 minutes on each side. And then brush them with a little bit of that syrup and bring them to a bowl with vanilla ice cream and drizzle the remaining syrup over the ice cream. Garnish with some whipped cream and sliced mint leaves. You guys know on What's For, you know, listening to What's For Dinner, I love grilled or sautéed fruit on ice cream. Add a little, maybe just a little bit of salt. Balsamic sounds great. So that's a super great recipe. So there you have it. Hopefully this has inspired you to try something different with your melons, and this is the good time to get them. So get to the store, get to Chelan, whoever's selling melons in town, and pick 1 or 2 up. Coming up next on KFSK, use that fresh produce, and carrots are the star this week. Lovely carrots.
When I was just a lad of 10, my father said to me, come here and take a lesson from the lovely lemon tree.
Don't put your faith in love, my boy, my father said to me. I fear you'll find that love is like the lovely lemon tree.
Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat.
Carrots are the star this week on What's For Dinner, and many people are pulling some beautiful carrots out of the ground, and I've had some wonderful carrots this week, and they're so good and so sweet and all different sizes and colors. And I have run across this site on the internet called mynewroots.org. Mynewroots.org. Sarah Britton is the woman's name. It's her blog, and her recipes are outstanding. I would suggest you check it out right away if you're looking for new recipes for carrots or any vegetable. And in fact, if you're a vegetarian, this is the perfect site for you. And this recipe for ginger roasted carrots with mellow miso dressing came off of her site. I have it now bookmarked. It's actually on my desktop because I will be referring to her site for a long time to come. And if I could subscribe to her blog, which I'm not sure if you can or not, I definitely will. MyNewRoots.org. First of all, this is, you want to make a ginger or an orange marinade for these carrots. So a zest of 2 oranges, the juice of 1 orange, and 2 tablespoons of fresh ginger minced, and 1 teaspoon of maple syrup. 1 tablespoon of coconut oil. If you don't have coconut oil, use what you have. 1 tablespoon of sesame seeds, 1 pinch of sea salt. So whisk all that together to make a marinade. So the zest of a couple oranges, the juice of an orange, some ginger, maple syrup, a little oil, preferably coconut, some sesame seeds, and there you have the orange marinade, ginger orange. Then you need a mellow miso dressing. This makes like 1/2 cup of dressing, so 1/4 cup of light miso. You could get that in the Asian aisle at the grocery store. 1 tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil, 1/2 teaspoon of sesame oil, 1 tablespoon of vinegar, brown rice vinegar would be best, apple cider vinegar is fine, 1 teaspoon of maple syrup, 1 tablespoon of water, and some high quality soy sauce, or whatever soy sauce you have, that's fine. Whisk all of that together, and so you need the miso dressing and the ginger orange marinade. So you're going to roast the carrots after you've scrubbed them. You don't need to peel them, but just give them a scrub. And if they're bigger carrots, you can cut them into quarters lengthwise. Otherwise, if they're small baby carrots, perfect. Put the carrots in a bowl with the marinade, toss them to coat, and then pour the carrots and marinade out onto a baking sheet and sprinkle with sesame seeds. Place them into an oven, preheated oven, and roast for 15 minutes. You don't want them to be like soft and mushy, so you're just really taking off that raw bite. You still want them to be crunchy. And because you've poured that marinade in there, they're going to kind of steam, and they're going to cook pretty easily. And you don't want them to get black, so make sure you don't overcook them. Then when they're roasting, you've made the miso dressing. Maybe you've made it ahead of time. Remove the carrots from the oven, dish them up and drizzle them with the dressing. She had them served over like a black rice or a brown rice. Delicious. You don't need anything else with that meal. Just the carrots over the rice, drizzle it with the miso dressing, and delicious. So check her out. Sarah Brighton is her name, and mynewroots.org is her blog. Also, for you vegetarians out there or anybody who loves veggie burgers and loves carrots and zucchinis, now is the time to make a carrot and zucchini vegetable burger. And this one's pretty easy. Uses a lot of things that you have right around the house. You do need, of course, 1/2 cup of grated zucchini. Press them to remove a lot of the excess water out of them. 1/2 cup of grated carrots, 1 small grated onion, couple tablespoons of chopped parsley. You're going to mix all that together. Then you're going to stir in like 1/2 cup of 10 grain cereal or ground whole oats. Also some breadcrumbs, like 1/2 cup. And some Parmesan cheese, 1/4 cup of cheese. Mix that in. Also the seasonings, like some Old Bay seasoning, a teaspoon of Old Bay, teaspoon of dried dill, 1/4 teaspoon of paprika, 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper, so Old Bay, dill, paprika, ground pepper. Mix that in as well. You can also add some Dijon mustard, some pesto. Okay, so, whatever you like to spice them up. And then you're going to add also 1 couple of eggs, and that's what's going to help hold it all together. So the 10 grain and the oats will just soak all that up. And before you know it, you just have a really good veggie mixture. Divide it into four balls and flatten it with your hands. And fry them in a frying pan. Flip them when golden on one side, about 3 to 5 minutes per side. It doesn't take them long to cook. And you can put cheddar cheese on top, put them in the oven, and finish off the cheese until it melts. Or you can just put the cheese on the top, put the lid on the pan, and let it cook that way. And serve on your favorite buns with your favorite fixings. So those are homemade carrot and zucchini veggie burgers. Recipe from Jeanette Ortiz. And she has a blog called EverybodyLikesSandwiches.com. And you can check hers out as well. Carrot and zucchini veggie burgers. So you can make homemade vegetable burgers. I've made them before. And they really do turn out delicious. Better than what you buy in the store. So give it a try. Coming up next, we're going to have the drink of the week and then a tip on how to cut round veggies safely. Up next on What's for Dinner?
Oh, I wake up in the morning with my hair down and my eyes, and she says hi. And I stumble to the breakfast table while the kids are going off to school goodbye. And she reaches out and takes my hand and squeezes it and says,
"How you feeling,
And I look across at smiling lips that warm my heart. And I see my morning sun. And if that's not loving me, then all I gotta say, is God didn't make little green apples and it don't rain. Indianapolis in the summer. There's no such thing as Dr. Seuss.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner. And the drink of the week on What's for Dinner is brought to you by Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. Hosting Thursday night, open mic, and a DJ for dancing on the weekends. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, open 7 days a week. And I have two different drinks today for What's for Dinner. One of them is called a watermelon lime spritzer. Very simple. You need 2 cups of seedless watermelon cut into cubes. And you need half a cup of ice cubes. 2 cups of lemon lime flavored soda, divided, and 1 lime cut into wedges. And you need to place the watermelon and the ice cubes in a blender and blend until they're liquefied. And then once you add the lemon lime soda, it will thin out even more, and then you add more ice cubes if you want it slushier. So slowly add half of the lemon lime soda and blend until smooth. Pour it into glasses and garnish with limes and serve. So it's a nice, smooth watermelon lime spritzer. So many of these recipes call for lime and lemon when you're working with melons. And really, I like using lime and lemon with a lot of my foods, but boy, they're getting expensive, aren't they? But we still love them. And sometimes you can get good deals on large bags of limes. And when you see those, snag them up because they're cheaper that way. So that's a watermelon lime spritzer. So you're just taking your watermelon and your ice cubes and blend them up. Add your soda. Add half the lemon lime soda. Blend until smooth. Pour into glasses and garnish with limes. Pretty simple. And then this one is the Melantini. You need 3 cups of honeydew melon cut into cubes, plus you want some melon balls for garnish, so you need a little melon baller, 3 cups of lemon soda, cold lemon soda, 1 cup of club soda cold, 1/2 cup of melon liqueur, and 8 ounces of vodka chilled. And you could also do this without the alcohol. So in a blender, puree the honeydew melon and pour it into ice cube trays and freeze so you have a frozen cube of honeydew. Then in a pitcher, combine lemon soda, club soda, and melon liqueur. Drop a frozen melon cube into a martini glass and top with 2 tablespoons or 1 ounce of vodka per drink. Garnish with skewered melon balls. And there you have it. You could put the melon balls on a little pick and put them in your martini glass. And you could do that without the vodka and melon liqueur as well. You can just do club soda, lemon soda, and your honeydew in cubes. So that's a melontini, and that is the drink of the week, or the drinks of the week. And today I wanted to give you a tip of cutting round veggies safely. And you probably know this already, but the easiest thing to do when you're, cutting a wobbly vegetable is potatoes, squash, or beets, or an onion. So cut a thin slice off first, off the length of the potato or the other vegetable to create the flat side, and then turn it so it's flat and it won't roll. I know so many people have cut themselves trying to cut a wobbly vegetable, especially like a squash that has a harder, outside to it. Potatoes aren't too bad. But do cut off a little slice and always do that. Make sure you have a flat surface to start with. Then turn the potato cut side down and slice it as desired. And when it's hard to grip and the slices are falling apart, then stop and turn the potato so that the flat side from where you made the last cut is face down on the cutting board, and continue to slice. So, go down the potato, slice, slice, slice. Then I like to take one of those slices off the side and then turn it to the other flat side so the potato slices are stacked. And then you go down the other direction, slice, 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 and then you have sticks. And then from there, you slice it into chunks if you wish to have it in chunks. If you have it in slices, that's already been done. And if you want it in sticks, then, so you just keep going that step further from slices to sticks to chunks. And that's how you cut up a potato. And that's how you would cut up, onions and other vegetables as well, especially round ones. Cut off that, make sure you're able to stop it from rolling first. So there's your tip of the week. And that wraps up this week's What's for Dinner. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you have a great week, and happy melon hunting.
Banana split for my baby.
What's for Dinner on KFSK has been brought to you by Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, and Inga's Galley. Our theme music, provided by Louis Prima. If you missed any part of today's show, you can hear it in its entirety on KFSK.org. Happy eating!
Tutti frutti once and spumoni twice. Banana split for my baby, and a glass of plain water for me.